Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter podcast. This is Julia Legian. I am excited to introduce to you a very, very special gentleman today. His name is Eric Bailey. Eric is an author, presenter, speaker, motivator, visionary, and a former professional athlete and NBL legend. Eric had an incredible and inspiring life journey. He was an adopted child with serious health challenges. He grew up in a rough neighborhood and poverty, yet he did not let his circumstance dictate his life. Today, Eric is a successful entrepreneur. He travels around the globe, sharing his knowledge and teaching people how to think like a champion and bounce back from their setbacks and adversity. He inspires and gives hope to millions around the world. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you and your listeners. I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to be an amazing time.
Eric, today you are a successful and accomplished person. You featured in magazine along other world-class leaders, but your start in life was not that promising. I touched a bit in the introduction and was wondering if you would kindly share a bit more of your life journey with our listeners.
Sure, I'd love to. And just before I start, I just want to say that every single person, all your listeners, we all have been born with incredible gifts and talents, and we have passion and we have purpose. And what you're going to hear is how I was able to come to realize that I must believe in myself, because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. The day that I was born, the medical profession basically said that I would never play sport, never be normal like the other kids. I had a bone disease in my knees. My biological parents, rather than supporting me and loving me and giving me all of the, you know, the help that they could, instead they walked away, and I was left to fend for myself. I was adopted by two incredible, loving individuals who, at the age of 45, they realized they couldn't have kids, so they gave me a shot at life. And every morning, every night, they just kept telling me to believe in myself, work hard and never give up, and good things would happen. So here I am now, 55 years of age. I've taken what they have said on board and created a, you know, really good life for myself and my family. And my goal in life now is to put everything that I've learned back in the community, back into world, to make the world a better place.
That's a wonderful attitude. Eric, I believe you grew up in a rough environment, and I came from a similar background. And I believe that most children that grow up in a hopeless environment, surrounded by poverty, crime, and struggle, they don't normally have a positive mindset. They tend to fall into the same trap, do what they see around them. And it's really hard and rare for someone to break out of that cycle. How did you manage to see beyond your circumstance and create and achieve such an incredible vision for your life? I know that you did mention that your adopted parents had a bit to do with it.
One of the things that I learned real early in life was that what I saw every day didn't necessarily have to be my future. And I was drawn to the fact that being an only child, being adopted, living in poverty, that there was no one going to be able to particularly help my parents once I got older, or once they got older. So I took it upon myself to build a level of vision in my mind, which told me that if I could become successful, if I could do some wonderful things in life, just maybe I would be able to reach back and help my parents. And I then stumbled upon a mentor, someone from my high school, who painted a big picture for me to shoot for, like to have a goal, and held me accountable and just kept pushing me, surrounded me with some positive people. And I was then able to change my attitude and my mindset.
Hats off to your mentor. Was he your teacher or some personal friend?
Yeah, he was actually my high school basketball coach.
So what kind of sacrifices and challenges did you have to face to get to where you are today, Eric?
The main sacrifice I had to make and challenge was learning to believe that something better was possible. People in my neighborhood, they did drugs. A lot of the kids were in gangs. A lot of them was, you know, graffiti, always in trouble with the police. Some didn't go to school. And to be around them and to see that they weren't positive and that they didn't have a good outlook at life sometimes made you feel as if, you know, you couldn't do it either. But I just had to focus and push myself. And the other thing was my knees. I had really bad knees. I had pain. I had inflammation in my joints. And it actually hurt to run. It hurt to walk. But somehow I realized that life is never going to be easy. If I could get through this particular stage in life, then I could probably get through everything. So I just kept pushing myself. I avoided the negative people. I started to gravitate toward the positive people, and I started to improve. I built my confidence. And once I could see that I was starting to do better in life, in school and in sport, I just got a taste of hunger. I was hungry for success. So I just kept pushing myself.
We're talking about you as an elite sportsman.
Yes.
How much pain did you put your body through or you had to endure during this period?
Well, I was training about 4 hours a day plus going to school. And then we had games. So throughout my career, I've had 9 knee operations and a hip replacement. So the pain that I endured throughout my life has led me to the success that I'm having now, because now I can look back and I can honestly say that if there's no pain, there's no growth. You grow through the sacrifices and the pain that you acquire in your lifetime. And that's why, you know, when I'm talking to athletes, or I'm talking to business people, or I'm talking to, you know, young people in school, I'm saying, if it's not hurting in some area of your life, you're not doing enough of it.
There's only so much that a person can take, Eric.
Oh.
And sometimes people just wanted to give up because, I mean, how much pain can you endure before you say enough is enough?
Yeah, I believe that there is a level of discomfort that we all must face before we can realize the greatness that's waiting for us.
It's easy for most of the successful people because they already have that incredible positive attitude and they're willing to put themselves through necessary pain to achieve what they really wanted in life. And I can say that about you and me because we came from a tough background. Therefore, our pain tolerance is a little bit higher than most of the young kids these days, especially those that came from a privileged background. I think it's almost impossible to convince them that they have to go through the pain to get to where they want to go, don't you think?
Well, one of the things I do is because I've had the privilege to work with some really high-profile individuals. I've worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I've worked with Jamie Foxx, I've worked with Sir Richard Branson. And one of the things that I talk to them about is, you know, success and what does it take to stay on top? And they always, they've shared examples of their life with me. And as I'm listening to them, every single one of those and all the successful people have had some horrendous failures in life. They've had some pain. I mean, they've had some things that have happened to them that, you know, would actually, you know, stop a lot of people from going forward, but they kept going. So I use those examples when I'm talking to people. And if they can see that those type of people have stumbled along the way, then why is it any different for them to stumble?
Last year, you had a cancer scare.
Yeah.
That must have been tough for you. Did that incident have you reevaluate your life? And how did your life change since?
Yeah, well, the thing that came out of that is that for a man, men in general ignore the warning signs. We ignore the red flags because we feel that they'll just go away. We sweep them under the carpet. And for a long time, I was supposed to go in and have my prostate checked and all that stuff. And I just kept putting it off until I got to the point where I was actually physically sick. And one of the things I learned is that when your body tells you something, you need to respond immediately. And the other thing it told me was that really short. So if you do have a short time on this planet, you got to look after yourself. You know, you've got to get to the, you know, exercise, you know, eat well, take good vitamins, take good supplements, remove yourself from stress and live each day like it's your last. So if you can do something great for someone today, do it, because you might not be here tomorrow. If you have family, if you have children, you know, spend as much quality time as you possibly can with them, because once again, tomorrow's not promised. So my life now is about taking advantage of every opportunity, because I know that I might not have it tomorrow, next week, or next month. More urgency, more sense of urgency to do more, to be more than I was yesterday. That's what it's taught me.
So, Eric, this next question, I can relate, and also quite personal for me, because I had been in some of my friends' shoes, and that is a feeling of self-love and abandonment. You see, I have several friends that were adopted and abandoned by their parents at a really young age, and they are constantly struggling with their identity and self-image. They're also suffering from lack of self-belief and self-love. They don't think that they deserve love and happiness. What advice do you have for my friends and the listeners alike?
Right. Being African American, being Black, I grew up to believe that possibly I wouldn't have the opportunities to do what the rest of the world was doing. And for a long time, I shielded myself from growing as a person, growing as an individual, and taking advantage of the opportunities. As I got older, I realized that I have just as much right, just as much of a purpose and a passion to overachieve in life. And what I can say to your listeners is this: if you put yourself in a position where you can elevate your life and your mindset and success for you, just imagine of all of the other people that you could help along the way. So live your life like you're a leader. Like, wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and just say to yourself, today I am going to be the best person I possibly can be, because I know I'm putting myself in a position to empower and to inspire and to motivate someone else. We're all in a big team. We're in a global team. And I believe that on the planet, we're here to elevate the lives of other people, particularly those who can't help themselves. So when you think that you are a leader and you look at really all of the good things that you've done in your life, they actually they outweigh all the bad stuff. So there's nothing that you can't do, irrespective of your color, your race, your religion, or where you're born, or how much money you have. You can achieve greatness in life. But number one, you got to believe that you can. And the other thing is, once you can find your why, once you can work out, you know, why you want to succeed in life, like, why can you be a benefit to the world? What can you bring to the table? How can you elevate lives? Then you have a purpose. Find your why, develop your purpose, and your passion will come, and then you will have your outcomes.
I think it's really hard to find your why, Eric, when you're in a depression stage. How can you switch your mind and ask yourself a why question? I mean, it's quite tough just to convince yourself to get out of bed, let alone to go out and make a difference in this world.
Okay. One of the questions that I always ask myself is, who can I help today? Like, who can I help today with my positive attitude? Who can I help with my actions? Who can I help with a smile? Because once you can identify who you can help, then it's almost like, if you don't do it, if you don't smile, if you don't, you know, have a great attitude, you're letting someone down. So if you have family, if you have kids, if you're in an environment where you have workers around you, if you work in a charity, if you're working in a sporting team, just remember, you have the power to make or break someone's day.
Eric, I believe that you're involved with some charity organizations. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Okay, so there's really, there's about three main organizations. One is Adopt Change. That's about just awareness of adoption, with particularly adults who have gone through the adoption process, and over time, for whatever reason, there's a stigma in their mind about being adopted. They feel that it's a nasty word, and they have reservations, so they never tell anyone, and they never let go of the past. So I speak to adults. I also talk to kids who are have been adopted and who have a stigma about being in school and, you know, not really fitting in, feeling like their parents abandoned them. And also just talk to people in general about the importance of adoption, of how it can save a life. I use my own example. If I hadn't been adopted by the parents that I was adopted by, don't know where I would be. So that's one of my charities. The other one I have is, Nourish the Children. So Nourish the Children is a foundation which, actually feeds starving children around the world. And it's done through, my business, associate New Skin, and they've, 450 million kids we've been able to feed, and we've eradicated starvation, in Malawi. Through food packets. So you can buy a packet for $30 and that feeds a child for a whole month, which is fantastic. And I also do some work with, Fishers of Men, which, helps with homeless people off the streets, puts them into shelter and tries to upscale them and give them some background and, some footage and help them with their lives. So, and I do some work with some children. So yeah, there's a very varied amount of stuff that I do, but I'm always trying to help as many people as I can.
That's wonderful. Recently, you published a book called Bring Your A Game.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit more about the book?
So Bring Your A Game is about the 12 A's that are important in your life. So in my life, particularly, there was I talk about abandonment, I talk about adoption, I talk about attitude, abundance, acknowledgement, appreciation. It's all of the A's that you can incorporate in your life that can give you success. It's a book about what I've done in my life, where I've come from, what I've been able to do, what I've been able to overcome. And I give you lots of tools and strategies and techniques in the book of how to overcome situations that come up in your life. It's humor, it's emotional, it's visionary, it's content. It's a book that you can use as like a roadmap to help you improve your life.
I read somewhere that it took you less than a month to finish the book. Is that right?
Less than a month. I actually... I was focused. My wife and family were away over Christmas, and on Boxing Day I started writing, and I just wrote continuously all the way through for 3.5 weeks, and then boom, it was done.
I can't believe it. I mean, it took me more than 5.5 years to complete mine.
Oh, really?
You must be a very hard worker.
Yeah. I was in pain. My mind was stretched. I was focused. And I needed to get the information. And it was very therapeutic for me as well.
Where can the listeners find your book, Eric?
Yeah, you can go to my website, which is www.ericbaileyglobal.com. Or you can get it also on amazon.com.
Well, thank you, Eric, for being on my show today. And I appreciate that you share your life journey and a few wonderful tips with our listeners today. I hope you have a great day in sunny Queensland.
Thank you very much. The sun is out, but it's still a little chilly. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Well, that's all for today. Thank you so much for listening. I hope to see you all next week. Bye for now.